Is this the right one?
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Mike Boyle Show. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Mark missed his cue because he's fucking retarded. Go ahead, Mark. Play music.
And ladies and gentlemen, right now, welcome to hurricane-ravaged Jacksonville, Florida, and just plain ravaged New York City for tonight's edition live, the Mike Boyle Show on www.blogtalkradio.com. And now, here's Mike Boyle.
Yeah, I guess you're going to have to say, here's Mikey from now on. Here's Mikey.
All right.
So,
yeah,
everybody, listen, tonight we have John Poveromo, a gifted comedian. He's open for Jimmy Fallon. He's been called hysterically funny by the executive producer of Arrested Development. He's performed at the Laugh Factory, Caroline's, Comedy Cellar. The guy's he's got some stuff going on, huh, brother? So
So
I'm very excited that he'll be calling in soon. Yes, Marco, we had some hurricane this past week. I didn't know if we were gonna be able to do the show. I didn't have electricity. My balls were very sweaty for a few days.
Oh yeah.
Very sweaty.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Yes. We did a couple episodes of Rotten Apple on the hurricane.
Right.
It was kind of funny. I'm writing cartoons about the hurricane.
In
New York. Well, actually in the hurricane, writing cartoons about what it must be like to be in Florida, but I'm actually was in Florida. So
that's just good research.
Yeah, right. You know what, everybody? People in Florida are some resilient people. I mean, you know, people are outside cutting their grass like nothing happened. I mean, you know, crazy shit. I went to the mall. We have like this outdoor mall in Jacksonville called Town Center. And the fucking place was packed, dude. Like nothing happened. Packed. Everybody's out just fucking trying to eat and do their shit. And,
right.
You know, crazy, crazy shit. So.
Yeah, but probably not in the Keys, though. In the Keys, they really got fucked.
Well, let me tell you something, dude. Have you ever been to the Florida Keys?
No. I always wanted to go to Hemingway's house down in Key West. Ernest Hemingway's home is there. It's a landmark. And I always wanted to go down there and see it. Hope it's still there.
Well, the Florida Keys are basically like little Caribbean islands. I mean, they're tiny little islands. I mean, they're all put together by these little bridges, and
right.
You know, I mean, not for nothing. They're it's kind of stupid that people. It's hard for me to say that, but I went to the Keys once when I first got to Florida. I was like, oh, I guess I gotta go see the Keys. And some people love them because of the views and everything. It is, you know, okay. But, you know, like, they're sand. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, I got you. You know what I mean?
Sounds like
so,
Fire Island here in New York.
Yeah, I mean, like, I understand. But, you know, of course the storm is going to, you know, kill it. But, you know, mainland Florida, they know that these hurricanes happen. You know, and
right.
They build for them, and we have hurricane, you know, building codes and, you know, things like that. I'm not saying there wasn't damage, and there was some damage, and you can't stop the storm surge and that kind of thing. But I mean, if you noticed, you know, that the hurricane that we had in Texas a week or two before, you know, you heard that, you know, it was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. It was like, but you didn't really hear that with Florida. You just like, okay, you know what I mean? It was like, you know, while
well, you guys
was going
used
on,
to it.
You know, yeah, it was like, yeah, okay. And the cartoon that we did about, you know, Rotten Apple episode we did about it was like, as I was saying, people are like, oh, fuck it. We're just going to get drunk for 2 days. You know, because it is inconvenient. You have to, like, hang out in the house and wait for the shit to pass and, you know, and it is nerve wracking. And of course, the news makes it like you're going to die.
right. Yeah.
And, you know, actually, I want to know if I could apply for some FEMA help, you know.
Probably could.
Please don't apply for no help for nobody. I'm too stupid to ask for help. But I had someone who was going to buy a $400 home over here. It was a Facebook fan. And they wanted to be near Mayo Clinic because they have a medical condition. And her husband's a golfer. So we have some awesome golf over here, you know. And she was going to be near the clinic. She wanted to buy a $400,000 house. I had her all set to go. She wanted to be in this community over here called Ponte Vedra, which is a beautiful place. And she's all ready. Everything's all good to go. Found her beautiful homes. And, of course, I get the email, forget it. My husband will not even think to come there anymore. And I was like,
The guy didn't know that fucking Florida had hurricanes. This is like the first time Florida
just at the time he's getting ready to really pull the trigger and come here, you know, he sees that news coverage of how devastated Florida is. And she sends me the email, forget it, we're not coming. And I'm like, are you kidding me? We're all back to work. And everything's fine. And she's like,
Where are they from?
California. I'm like, all right, well, you're going to have some earthquakes soon, so don't worry about
that. Yeah, right, right. Watch what happens when the ground opens up under their house. They wish they were in Florida.
Yeah, but you know what? The truth of the matter is I had another buyer, and this one I feel bad about because this woman, I was listing the home, and this woman wanted to sell so bad, and she was so happy that we finally got a buyer on the house, and that buyer canceled the deal altogether 2 days before the fucking closing. We're like, no, you don't have to cancel. Just wait until after this shit passes. You know, we can extend closing. Nope, I'm out. You know what I mean? So it's like, oh, God. It's like, you know, it's like, so that's what I say. I need FEMA here. I mean, you know how much fucking money I'm out because of this term? But look, I know a lot of people are hurt and a lot of people really lost a lot of shit. So I got to shut the fuck up. You know what I mean? And so I shut the fuck up. You know, Mark, that's all I ever do is shut the fuck up. You know how many times in my life I have to tell myself, I guess I got to shut the fuck up. You know,
Why you always tell me to shut up?
Yeah, it's like shut the fuck up. That's all you can do in this life is shut
like
the
it,
fuck
it goes,
up.
It goes from them to you and from you to me.
Yeah, shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. You know, that's all you could ever do in this fucking world is shut the fuck up. It's kind of like when I'm on stage doing comedy, you know, and I get a heckler. What do I say? Shut the fuck up. Everything. Shut the fuck up. You know what I mean?
You remember that blonde woman at that bar up on Riverside Drive who was bothering you? She was drunk with her boyfriend or something. That was a funny night. That was the first time I saw you perform.
Oh, yeah, that was awesome. I remember that. You know what happened that night, Mark? It was so evident that she fucking heckled every comedian that went up.
Right.
And so I knew she was going to do it to me, too, because, you know, she did to everybody. So she was with some old Russian dude, I guess. You know, and I was thinking to myself, I'm brand new to New York. And I said to myself, I bet you these people know something I don't know. Like, maybe that guy's, like, Russian mob or some shit. And I go, you know, maybe they know better than I do not to say nothing to her. Like, maybe I'll get shot or something. And I'm like, I don't give a fuck. You know what I mean? This bitch needs to be told to shut the fuck up. So
and he laughed. When you told her, he was laughing hysterically. He was dying. I thought it was really funny.
Anyway, it was like, so I get up there, I start talking, and I know she's going to do it. So as soon as she opens her mouth, I went, you, shut the fuck up. And the place just lost it because she needed it. And nobody said it all night. And I went, shut the fuck up. And everybody just started fucking laughing. And she didn't know what to do, dude. Like, nobody ever told her to shut the fuck up in her whole life. And then she just kind of shut up a little bit. And then a couple minutes later, I went, I thought I told you to shut the fuck up.
Right, yeah, she started again.
Yeah, I said, I thought I told you to shut the fuck up. Shut your fucking mouth, baby. I go, hey, you old Russian guy, what are you going to do to shut her the fuck up? Stick your old cock in her mouth or something. Remember that, Mark? I was like, what are you, Russian mafia or something? Shut her the fuck up.
And he was laughing hysterically. He loved it. If he was Russian mafia, he didn't care. He probably wanted her to shut the fuck up. He probably, you know, maybe he never could tell her. Maybe it was his real wife and she's just obnoxious, you know, and he couldn't, you know, so he, maybe, you know, whatever. But it was funny. It was really funny.
Well,
yeah, all the other comics that night, they were all like, they, you know, and like they didn't handle hecklers. Like she would yell at them and they would like ignore it and they wouldn't say anything. And they would just kind of like, but you really attacked her, and it was about time. Everybody was ready for it.
Well,
who was the woman that? What was her name? The cute
Brosman.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Still around. She's still around. Maybe John knows her.
Stacey Brosman. Well, listen, the guy who invited me to do that show that night, I don't know if you remember him. His name is
Wingman.
Yeah, James Oliva. I don't know if he's still doing comedy or what, but he was supposed to be some big deal at the time, and he's
yeah,
like, and I blew him off the fucking stage, Mark. I just blew him off his own fucking stage.
He was known as the Wingman, right? And he was filthy, dirty, but it wasn't funny.
But he never talked to me again after that show. If you remember, he never talked to me again. He never said another.
I remember there was a rift. Of some sort.
Well, because I was funnier than he was on his own show, and that pissed him off. Instead of saying, oh, Christ, look what I found, this fucking funny guy. But no big deal. I don't give a fuck. But and he had me handing out flyers. I was like, what the fuck? I mean, so anyway, you know, whatever.
I've done that for Gladys.
Yeah. But I get there, and he hands me flyers to hand out. I'm like, whatever. So, it was my first fucking show in New York, but I get there and then I made jokes about it when I get on stage. I was like, I bet you people were like, what the fuck is this big guy handing me on the streets of New York, you know? But I enjoyed that show. But then Stacey Prussman, I told her she was beautiful, and she just looked at me like I had 18 eyes. I'm like, what? Nobody ever told you you were fucking beautiful? I'm like, what?
Well, wasn't her then husband there at the time? They were still married.
Yeah, Tim Homayoun, who I'm still friends with. Tim Homayoun, when I got off the stage that night, he came up to me and he goes, I'm going to watch your career very closely because you are a very funny man. And I was like, I didn't know who he was. And I found out that he was a writer for Saturday Night Live. And I was like, oh, well, thank you, Tim Homayoun. You know, and so, but I'm still friends with Tim Homayoun. I'm very good friends with Tim Homayoun. You know, I spoke with him on the phone the other night. Tim, he actually told me that, you know, he's no longer married to her. And
yeah, I know that. I know that.
Well, he told me that he has to pay her money for vet bill for a cat. And he actually calls it catamony. He said, how are you going to pay
catamony?
I'm like, well, you're fucking nuts, Tim. Like, no, nothing on this planet would make me pay catamony. Nothing. Like, the police would have to come to my house with, like, 16 big shotguns and hold them to my head to get money out of me for a fucking cat. Like, if my ex-wife was calling me up for money for a cat, I'd be like, hold on, honey. Suck my fucking dick, all right? Fuck you and your cat. You know what I'm saying? Fuck you. But then again, I guess if people say I'm nasty. So Tim's got to get, like, he's like, how much money do I have to give you for this cat? Like, evidently, he's got to give her, like, massive amounts of money for some cat to get medical treatments or some shit.
I could, you know, it can be costly. My cat, he used to, I had to give him, not injections, I had to spray this, I had to grab him and shove this tube in his mouth and spray this shit down his throat twice a day. Because he had something wrong with one of his glands or something. And I did that for a couple of years, and it was fairly expensive. A couple of $100 a month, I remember, at the time. But I was working. I was a teacher then, so I had more money.
Well, let me tell you something.
Pay $100 a month.
We get divorced and you want to keep the fucking cat, you pay for the fucking vet bills. You know what I'm saying? Like, hello. You know, you and your cat can fucking blow me. You know what I'm saying? Like,
well, it was probably in a divorce settlement, you know, that they probably said, how much do you need? And it's going to her, and I guess she could spend it on herself if she wants, but she chooses to use it for the cat. So
No, it wasn't before. He just calls him up and bothers him for catamony.
Oh, I get it. I hope
he's not mad at me for telling that, but
Actually, I've seen her post, not about him and the cat, but I've seen her post about the cat is, she loves her cat and the cat's better today, and I don't know what it meant, and he's feeling good. And she was very, she's not up front in my feed anymore, so I don't see her stuff right away. But she used to, she always was talking about the cat. So I guess it's a, you know, big deal with her.
Well,
but he obviously has more money than she does.
Well, you know, whatever. I'd be like, your cat can fucking, you know, choke on a fucking horse cock. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not fucking paying for your, you know what I mean? It's your cat. I mean, of course.
People in divorce settlements, a lot of times the animals are treated just like a child. They fight over the dog or the cat. I've seen it, you know, and I knew somebody was a divorce lawyer, and they literally had to treat the dog like a kid. And, the husband could see the dog every week, and he'd have to pay, you know, certain money for the dog. You know, they agreed and shit. And a lot of people who don't have children treat the animals like children. I see in the city all the time here these single women and people who don't have kids. They treat even when I, you know, my parents treated the animals, you know, like part of the family, like children. But when they don't have kids, they really overdo. Like, there's this couple in my building who live on the third floor. They just bought a little adorable little female schnauzer. It's the cutest dog in the world. Loves me. It's because when I go downstairs, a lot of times they're walking it and stuff. And it's their baby. They treat it like, you know, they're middle aged and they're in their early 40s, and they treat the little doggy like a baby, which is great for the dog, great for them. They have somebody to take care of, so they don't have kids, so they have this. So if they got divorced, I'm sure that would be part of the settlement.
All right. Well. Good for her. Good for him. Good for her. Listen, that just goes to show you. You know, you could be looking at the most beautiful fucking woman on the planet, and you know what? And you could be dying looking at this woman. You could be like, oh my God, I just gotta have her. And sometimes you just gotta look at that woman and go, you know what? Somewhere somebody's looking at her, going, oh, thank God I got away from her. Because you know, people are just fucked up, Mark. Fucking nuts. You know what I mean? So, there you have it. You know, and then, you know, and I was friends with Stacey too, and that, you know, I stopped talking to her even on Facebook. She don't know how to take a joke. You say something, or she gets all fuck her. You know what I mean? Like, fuck her. Like, you know what I mean? Like, whatever. Fuck you. You know what I mean? Like,
check
she gotta watch
see if I'm still her friend.
I mean, whatever. Fuck her. Fuck her and her cat. Fuck her. You know what I mean? Because she said something to her, she got all fucking offended. Like, no, you're a comedian. Like, you have no sense of fucking humor. Hello? Excuse me. I knew the first night I met her. I called her. I said, oh, my God, you're beautiful. And she looked at me like I was, like, what? Fat guys can't call you beautiful? I mean, excuse me. Like, you know, what the fuck? And then James Oliva was like, ugh. I'm like, where's Wingman now, Marco? Is he in where is he? That fucking.
I have no idea.
That bag. He got pissed off because I was funny. I mean, what the fuck was wrong with him?
You know, when you're, I mean, if it's your show, you want everybody to be funny. unless you're so, like, unless you're going to come up last and everybody's not that good and you're the greatest and you saved the show, but you want everybody to do okay.
Let me tell you something. You never, ever, ever, ever get mad when somebody's fine, unless you're psychotic. This is what we do for a living. We're comedians. So,
right.
You know, when you see somebody funny, that's like a gift.
Right.
Comedy is a gift to the world. It's something that people laughter is something that people use to. It's like when you laugh for a minute, it's like you just get rid of so much horror. You know what I mean? Life is fucking horrible if you think about it, and all of a sudden you laugh, and it's so cathartic, and you just get rid of so much pain. And this is why we laugh. Everybody who you ever knew that was really funny, it's because they were fucking in pain somewhere in their life, Mark, and they had to learn how to laugh at it. And so, you know, comedy is a gift. And so when you see somebody funny, all you could do is say, oh, my God, what a joy. How could you not be happy that somebody's funny? I love funny fucking people. Yes, exactly. So, you know, I bow to funny people. I mean, I don't care if it's a brand new comedian I never saw before. If it makes me laugh, I'm like, oh my God, you were funny. You know, and
right.
too many times in our industry, you know, we have people with a fucking attitude. You know, oh, I've been on stage for fucking years, so you don't have enough. You don't have enough expertise to make me laugh. Fuck you. You know what I mean? Fuck you. You know, it was the first time that I ever saw, like, I remember the first time I ever saw, let's see. It doesn't matter how many years they were performing. There was always the first time you saw somebody, right? Like, I remember the first time we had HBO, right? So Klein, what was his first name? Robert Klein? The first time I ever saw Robert Klein on HBO, he was doing a bit. It was kind of stupid if you think about it now, but he was doing this bit, I can't stop my leg. I can't stop my leg.
That's his signature thing.
Yeah, I can't stop my leg. Then he goes, no, stop. That fucking guy made me laugh. Now, I never saw him before. I never saw him perform before. I was a little kid. You know, I mean, it was HBO. It was this new thing. And I laughed and I laughed and I laughed. Now, he could have been performing for years at that point, but that didn't mean anything to me. To me, he was a brand new performer because that was the first time I ever saw him. The very first time I ever turned on the TV and saw the guy. So it could have been his first night in the business. I would have never known the difference. But, you know, the truth of the matter is he made me laugh that night. And so what's the difference how many years he was performing? But what's nice is when somebody's got some longevity behind them, then you could go back and flesh out their career. They made you laugh that one night, and then you could go see what else they've done. It's kind of like discovering a great piece of music. Then you could go see what else they've done, you know. You know, or if it's the first thing they've ever done, then you can wait for the next thing they do. That's what's great about any great artist. You can follow them. After they touch you once, you can say, oh, I want to see what else they're going to do. So if you become a fan. So that's an awesome thing. But, you know, we have too many people, you know, that want to do this stuff for a living that have this attitude that, oh, if he does it, then I can't do it too. And that's crazy. I mean, you can't do that. You have to, you know, you have to be happy when somebody else is good. You have to say, wow, because art perpetuates art. I mean, you know,
right.
Can you imagine, you know, we need, everybody's got their place. There's so many different colors. You know, I remember when Robin Williams was talking about whether or not he was the best comedian. And I don't remember exactly how he put it. But I will tell you that very few people could open their mouth and be as funny as Robin Williams. Very few people. Now, would I say he was my favorite comedian? No, but he was definitely up there. And the guy was a fucking genius. I mean, a genius. But, you know, he said there's, it's like a rainbow. I think it was Robin Williams that said this. It's like comedy's like a rainbow, and there's so many different things. And so many, or maybe it was Kinison that said that. I mean, I'm getting them, these guys confused now because it's been
right.
so many years I've been doing stuff. But, you know, it's true. It's like a, there's so many different things that we need many people, you know, we need many people to help us get through this fucking thing called life, Mark. You know, so so to all you guys out there that think, like, you got to be the only guy that's funny, fuck yourself, please.
Right.
Take your fucking head and stick it up your own ass for about an hour. See what
remember,
it smells like.
Remember, you couldn't have Hardy without Laurel. You couldn't have Dean without Jerry. And you couldn't have Abbott without Costello.
Well, and you couldn't have Cock without Balls, Mark. And
well, no, that
you
could have, unfortunately, depending on the accident. But you know, you wouldn't want
just,
to. Let's put it that
it's
way.
It's true. Like, I remember, like, James just completely cut me off that night. Not that I gave a fuck. I went out on stage every fucking night after that. I mean, you know, I didn't need him to go back on stage. But, I mean, it was so fucking obvious. He was so buddy, buddy, buddy up until that night. Oh, yeah, buddy, buddy, buddy. Because he knew I was funny, you know, because we were corresponding back and forth. And we had this whole fucking thing on Facebook, like, blah, 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 blah. And then
Aviva,
I go up there.
Is that his name?
Yeah, James Aviva.
Spell it.
H-O-L-E-V-A.
H like
I'm
Harry?
Not French. Yeah.
O-V...
O-V-E-I-L-A?
Oh, H-O-L.
He's CEO and president at Dirty Kid Productions.
Yeah, I see him.
Yeah, he's rocking his show.
No, he's not friends with me.
Yeah, he blocked you. He blocked me. You know, what the fuck did he block you for? Probably
he didn't block me. He just unfriended me.
What did he unfriend you for?
I don't know, but I mean, well, maybe I never made friends with him. I don't know, but he's not my friend. But he didn't block me, because if they block you, it doesn't even show up, I think.
Yeah,
like certain people who I blocked, they don't show up.
Just that one night, I went on stage, and that's it. He hasn't talked to me since. That was 5 years ago.
Was it that
and
long?
Still,
oh, my God.
I'm looking at his page. Now, obviously, I'm not blocked, because I could see his page.
Yeah,
and
he
still got the same book, The Wingman Chronicles. And he's still trying to do the same thing. Oh, the wingman.
You know, well, some of these people, you know, I mean, they never. I mean, I know people who make money. You know, they go on the road and they never do like a nationwide TV show and shit. But they make enough to make a living. You know, they do small clubs and. The Adirondacks and all over the country and small cities, and they come to New York and L.A. to try to get on TV shows and do shows here to get ready to go back on the road. And they make enough to live, some of them. You know, I wouldn't want to do it that way. I wouldn't want to be out driving around. I mean, somebody gave me the opportunity, and I said no. They said, yeah, I could drive out to Staten Island and do a nursing home there. George Salt, I think it was. I said, fucking shit, I don't want to go out and do a fucking nursing home for $30 in Staten Island. Oh, I'll drive you. I said, fuck it, I don't care. I don't care if 95-year-old Mr. Bernstein doesn't see me. It doesn't matter to me. I don't need to hone my material that much to go to a fucking nursing home in Staten Island. If it was on 89th Street and First Avenue, yeah, I'd do it. Well, you got to, you know.
All right,
I said,
well, that's enough of this. I mean, that's enough of this negativity. So, like I said, we do have a very gifted comedian on tonight.
Oh, good.
John Pogaromo. And I am very happy that he's on. So we're gonna bring him in, see what John's up to. He's got
do
a bunch
a
of
favor.
Stuff going on.
Do me a favor, ask him if he would go to Staten Island for $50 to do a fucking nursing home. I wanna know if he would do it. Just curious.
And when he comes home, we'll ask him. I mean, what are you going to do? Evidently, John, I think we know John for a while. I mean,
yeah.
But the truth of the matter is,
He was
John's
on the show.
We're gonna ask him about all the stuff he's doing. And hold on. Let's bring him on and say hello. Hold on a second. Hold on there. John, welcome to the Mike Boyle Show. How are you, brother?
Hey, good, man. How are you? Finally got hold of you.
doing well, John. So John, nice to have you here. Tell us, a lot of exciting stuff going on, huh?
Yeah, a lot of exciting stuff, man. I haven't been – I think I was on your show, God, I want to say like 2010 maybe. I don't even know.
Yeah, it was a couple of years ago. We were off the air for a while.
Okay.
Obama took us off the air.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, we were.
Was the election that bad for you guys?
Yeah, it was rough. It was rough. They made us go off the air. We said some things about the women that weren't nice, and so we had a.
Wait, is that true?
No, not true at all.
I didn't think so.
Let me ask him that question. So I'll shut up after this. We were just talking. Did you hear the conversation about, like, doing small gigs and stuff? Did you hear that part?
Yeah, a little bit of that. I heard
would
about
you,
a nursing
would you
home.
Go, I mean, maybe when you started, but now, in your situation, would you fucking go to Staten Island for, like, I don't know, $75 and do a fucking nursing home show? Would
absolutely
you do that?
Absolutely not. No, I wouldn't go to Staten Island to see a relative.
That's it. Okay, thank you. I'm done for tonight. Thank you. Those of you people out there who say, oh, you have to hone your craft. I'll hone my craft at the fucking comic strip at 7 o'clock. Thank you.
Well, there are shit gigs that you have to do when you're a comedian, and there's certain ones that you definitely have to take. But, I mean, you know, use your own discretion. There's some stuff that just isn't worth it. You know, is a nursing home I'm going to – unless you need that $75, there's no fucking way to go do a nursing home in Staten Island. You know, especially if you're nowhere near Staten Island either. You know, if it's a local, maybe. You get $75, you drive 10 minutes. You know you're going to fucking bomb. So it's not a big deal. But, you know, if you're driving like an – fuck that. Like, there's no way. Can I say fuck on here, by the way? I said it 3 times.
Yes,
I'm not really sure.
Yes. No. Fuck everybody, John.
Okay.
Excellent. Fuck everybody.
Excellent. That's my attitude as well.
Yeah. So I'm very happy to have you back, and I'm so glad your career is doing well. And
tell me,
what's the most exciting stuff that's been happening to you lately? Tell me all the great stuff.
Oh man, just a ton of shit has been going on so far. I moved out to LA. I mean, since the last time I was there, I lived in LA for 2 years. I had a couple. Pilots that I had written myself or whatever. One was an animated pilot with a friend of mine. We had shopping around for a little bit. I had meetings with NBC, CBS, Fox News, ABC, all the major networks, casting directors, being pilot stuff. I auditioned to be on Mad TV. Just a lot of auditions, a lot of fun stuff like that. I'm headlining clubs now. I've got a book coming out that'll be out in
cartoon.
The fall, late fall. Yeah, a cartoon book. I draw a lot of cartoons and stuff. They're like, you know, a bit of absurdist shit and politically charged stuff like that. And that'll be out, called Drawings from a Nobody. So I've been crazy, crazy busy, but I'm loving it.
Good.
That's awesome.
Yeah, good.
So let me tell you what happened. Your agent reached out and asked, I said, what's up, John on? I mean, we know John. John is doing his time. But that's cool that the guy's working for you. And let me tell you something else. I saw your pictures. You look great.
Thank you so much, man. I appreciate that.
He has the best hair of any comedian in show business.
Yeah.
Best head of hair.
Dude, I'm putting that on a resume. Thank you.
Now, I was just going to ask you, do you have stylist people? Like, are you doing that all yourself? Like, do you have people helping you with that?
No, I've been doing this all myself. My hair is its own entity. It does what it wants. I have no reign over this, like all the time, and it's flattering most of the time too. But it is crazy because I'm thankful I even have it. I don't care what it does, what it looks like half the time. It's just there, man.
No, because you do have a good look, dude. You have that look. Like I was watching some of your stuff today to get ready for you. Very funny, by the way. I mean, very, very funny stuff. I mean, it's so cool because, you know, when you're on, when you're doing this stuff all the time, you're talking to people all the time, it's so cool to be able to laugh at people still. And I was laughing at your stuff. Very good stuff. So I was watching your stuff from Caroline's. You guys got to check John out. You got to check him out. He's a very funny guy. And I was looking at your stuff from Caroline's, and with the leather jacket and the black tee, I go, oh, he's very Hollywood looking. So I didn't know. Honestly, I'm not being funny. I didn't know if you have people helping you with that, because I look like shit. I look like, you know, I get up on stage, but I don't care though. You know what I mean? Because how the fuck do I know? You know what I mean? But
I find it's either one or the other, especially with comics. Either you're dying on the inside and you look good on the outside, or you look like shit on the outside and on the inside everything's working perfectly fine. I am that way. My insides are slowly just failing me, and then on the outside I look okay.
Well, I look bad on the inside and on the outside.
Well, you know what's funny,
Mike?
No, that was Mark. He never shuts up.
Sorry, Mike.
But you know what's funny is that, like, because you were saying you were doing pilots and stuff, so I didn't know if they had people helping you with all that shit. Because, you know, let me ask you a question. Because your agent sent me some stuff on you, like bio. Now what happened with Fallon when you opened for him? Was he doing stand up somewhere? And you opened for him?
Yeah. So right before he took over for Conan O'Brien, when he got the Late Show, he decided to go back out because, you know, he'd been kind of off the radar for a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, he was still doing SNL. He had some movies that fared okay or whatever. And then right before he got the Late Show, he decided to go back out and do a little bit of a stand-up tour. And when he came back to his home club, which is Bananas in Poughkeepsie, where he first started, he did 5 shows there. And I got to open for him on all 5 shows. And it was one of just – I mean, as I was young at the time. I think I was only 4 years in doing stand-up. And I got to open for him, and it was like it was a great learning experience too. It kind of validated me in you know, the position I was in, and I got to open for other bigger acts, you know acts around that size, stuff like that, because I was, you know, I wound up being good, reliable, and stuff. And also just meeting him and seeing what such a nice guy he was, and very generous. And you know, I got to meet his family, and you know, the audience was like 500 people each night. So it was fantastic. It was one of the best experiences of my life.
That's awesome. So yeah, he is a very nice guy. I mean, everybody says the same thing about him. And I guess we were just talking, like, before you were on, we were talking about some nasty dudes in comedy. So it's much better when people talk so nice about you, isn't it? Like, it just, what good is
it
being
is.
Nasty?
No, it's not. And you know what's crazy too is I find that like a lot of the guys that like I wound up meeting were super nice, you know, that I came up, you know, with and I wound up meeting and who kind of mentored me and stuff like that are really nice guys. The nasty ones, they do leave an impression, but there's not, I always want to stress that there's not that many. You know what I mean? Like it can seem like that for a little bit, but there's like as long as you keep your head, you know, level, and you keep doing the work, and you keep doing your job or whatever, you'll meet nice people. You'll attract nicer people.
Well, you know what? We're all in it together. You know what I mean? I guess, you just said you did a cartoon thing, and is it still in play at all? Is it something still going on with that?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's not a fit. I mean, I'm taking pre-orders on my website, which is johnpoveromo.net, but it's not officially out yet. Right now, I'm just doing a bunch of press for it and stuff like that. Yeah, it's a book, and it'll be out by the end of probably the end of November, you know, around my birthday, which is awesome.
Mark and I are doing a cartoon on YouTube called Rotten Apple.
Oh, nice.
And yeah, and it's we don't own it. I'm getting paid to write it, and Mark does a couple of voices on it. And
that's fantastic.
And it, yeah. Well, it's kind of fun. And this Russian millionaire guy is funding the whole thing. And so,
what do you call him?
Wow.
I call him KGB, and he gets all pissed off.
Yeah. Well, Congratulations. I'd love to see it, man. If you can send it over to me, that's great.
Yeah.
I'll text you a link to one. It's kind of cool, and you know we're he's telling me that once it gets up and running, that he knows how to get people to watch things on YouTube. He knows how to drive traffic and that kind of stuff. I think the content's there because, like, I'll tell you this, I was getting my oil changed today, right? On my 20,000 mile service in my car. And
not your hair?
No, not my hair. Shut the fuck up when I'm talking with you. So the woman behind the counter, the receptionist, I said to her, hey, can you get YouTube on your computer? And she goes, I wouldn't get it on my computer, but I could get it on my phone. She had a big, big iPhone. And I go, do me a favor. Look up Rotten Apple Cartoon. And she did. And because, there was nobody there. Just me and her were standing there. And I go, look up Rotten Apple Cartoon. She did. And I made her pick one of the episodes. There's like nine or ten of them up there now. And she goes, and she picked on one. And I go, yeah, there's this new thing. I didn't tell her I wrote them until after she watched it. I said, there's this new thing on there, Rotten Apple. I go, can you pick one of those? Let's watch one. And I just watched her face while she was watching it. And I do this to random people around, and I watch to see if they laugh where they're supposed to laugh. And everybody I do it to, I do it to random people at Starbucks. I do it to random people in the bookstore. And everybody laughs where they're supposed to laugh, dude. So I know they're funny. Because, of course, how do you know they're funny? Right, you know what I mean? So, I know they're funny. I know people watch them. And I watched her fingers while she was watching it. She hit the subscribe button while she was watching it.
Awesome, man. That's a good feeling.
Yeah. So I was like, all right, cool. So, listen, he tells me that he thinks when the thing gets going, it's going to have 100,000 views a day. And when that happens, when they have 100,000 views a day, we'll make some money. And so that's cool. So he pays me to write. And then I'm going to make 20% of the channel. But that's not really why I'm doing that.
And I'm going to get 0.00000001%.
That's show business.
No, I'm doing them because I get full writing credit on them. And so I figure, if you read them at the bottom, they say written by comedian Mike Boyle. Because, John, I figure anything that 100,000 people a day are going to see, and the character, and I talked them into making the main character this guy, Mikey. So Mikey is the main character, and it's me, Mikey. The only thing is, the fucker won't put hair on my head. Like, I have hair.
You make
me
bald. You make me bald.
They think I look funnier with no hair. And I go, KGB, I have hair. He goes, oh, no, Mikey's funny with no hair. I go, you motherfucker, I have hair. But all right, whatever. But listen, I'll text you one. I'd like to see your opinion of it. But,
please do, man. I'd love to see it.
That's cool, dude. I'm so happy that you're doing well because I do remember you from a couple of years ago, and I do remember you being a nice guy. So JohnPoveromo.net people have to go to see what you're doing. So
yes.
POVOROMO.
No, POVEROMO.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, POVEROMO, JohnPoveromo.net.
Oh, JohnPoveromo.net. Oh, I was going to sing to you in Italian. Hold on. Mark, you wouldn't understand this because you're a Jew. Us Italians have to, every once in a while, we have to stretch our lungs a little bit. Ready? Oh, Poveromo. Yeah. Italian.
John, I'm still doing Gladys's show.
Are you? That's awesome, man. How is Gladys? Is she all right?
She's great, man. She's doing pro shows now. On Tuesday nights,
I miss Gladys.
Yeah, she does pro shows now. She had Daryl Hammond 1 week, and I can't think of his name now. One of the biggest, he does the Hot Pockets routine. What's his name?
Oh, Jim Gaffigan. Jim Gaffigan knows Gladys from way back.
Yeah. He did one of her pro shows too. So she's doing a lot more stuff Of course, she does her regular show still. But she's
Gladys
really...
is a comedy angel. She is she's truly one of the nicest people I know who cares about comedians. And
right.
I miss her. I tell her I said hi.
I will.
Okay, so is that where we met, John? Were you doing Gladys back then? Is that, or did you know Mark?
I think I knew Mark. I know what, I met Mark, and then Mark recommended me to you.
Right.
Oh,
right.
Okay. I was probably already gone from New York. See, because I had to leave.
You were.
Yeah, I had to leave New York to come back to Jacksonville for my kids. My kids are done now. I'm getting ready to go back to New York. My kid just turned 18. He turns 18 in October. October 9th.
Right.
So I'm getting ready to get out of Dodge. I don't know exactly when, but I'm gearing up. So I did my thing.
Well,
hit
me up when you get back in New York, man.
I definitely will. So you're doing something else too, right? That we have to talk about. You got something going out in the Midwest. Let me see.
I'm doing the University of Kentucky October 4th, and then I'm doing Wiley's in Dayton, Ohio, the 6th and the 7th.
Wow.
Which is going to be a blast, man. I can't wait to do that.
That's great. So you're back in New York.
I'm doing the nursing home in Staten Island, I decided, in 3 weeks.
Did you just decide to do that? Yeah.
Yeah. Mr. Bernstein, he needs a new defibrillator, so we're going to do a special.
Hey, man, you can do blood
show.
Work as long as you're headlining. If you're headlining right. giving blood, man, go for it.
Right.
You know what, Mark? You knock it, but you might, you maybe make those people laugh, and maybe you find like a little niche. You go around, you'd be like the remember the Borscht Belt.
You know why I don't want to do it? I don't want to do it because that's me in like anywhere from 8 to 10 years or 15 years. I don't want to be so close to my mortality. If I was 30, it'd be a different story. But I'm in my late 60s, fucking. Now I could be sitting next to Mr. Bernstein in a month if something
all
happens.
Right.
So I don't want to. I don't want to see that shit.
You know what?
That's
what the truth is. Yeah.
What?
The truth about Mark is he's a nice guy, John, but he wants to turn everything into a story about him. You're
right.
You know. Let me ask you a question, Mark.
I'm an egomaniac.
You are. When they have a football game, when they huddle, like, do you think they're talking about you? Like, everything about Mark.
They're not?
Yeah. So, John, you're back in New York full time now?
I'm actually bouncing back and forth between here to L.A. I'm going back out to Los Angeles January to February for pilot season. And then I'll be back again in March. And then, I go back and forth between here and L.A. now.
Speaking of All About Me, if you do get a pilot, and, Jerry Stiller is 96 now, you can't use him. If you need a guy
right.
with an old crazy grandfather, I'm here.
Sure,
you're
at the top of my list, man.
As
long as you're not selling out nursing homes, man. I mean, you might not be free.
So, hey, John, doing stand-up in L.A., who are some of your favorite comedians out there? Have you made friends with like Kathy Lewis? And because I was out there a couple times, I made some friends, some nice people out there, like just a couple people.
Yeah, I got to hang out. I did the Comedy Store when I was out there, and I got to hang out with Carl Above and fucking Alan Steven.
To Carl. Now, did Carl talk about Kinison a lot? Like, wasn't he buddy with Sam Kinison back in the day?
He was. Yeah, absolutely. I've known Carl for years. So, I opened for him a bunch when I was starting out and stuff like that. And I just wound up reconnecting with him when I got back out to LA, and he was super nice to me. So, but yeah, he'll tell you stories about Kinison and shit like right from the beginning, and he's awesome to talk to, man, because he knows everybody. Him and Alan Steven. They were the original outlaws of comedy, and Alan was telling me stories on top of stories, man. Hung out with him, Carl, Craig Gass, Jeffrey Ross was there. A bunch of guys were all hanging out. Jeffrey Ross is the best, man. He's fucking sweet as shit.
Hey,
there's a lot of guys.
When you talk to Carl, Bill Kinison was a guest on my show here. I don't know if he's friends with Bill or not. Sometimes people get mad at each other, and you never know. But Bill Kinison told me if Sam was alive today, and you could go back and listen to the archives because it might sound like bullshit, but he told me that if Sam was alive today, that me and Sam would be best friends. He said Sam would fucking love you. You would be best friends. And I took that as such an honor. No, I said, no, listen, because I told him, I said, I would never
Jeffrey Dahmer's father said the same thing about me.
Oh, shut the fuck up. Like, you know, God damn.
If Jeffrey was still alive.
I said, I would never compare my talent to Sam's talent. I mean, that guy was a phenomenon. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like on the bottom rung of the show biz ladder, dripping off of it. This fucking guy was a phenomenon. But I so much in my life, I compare myself to Sam Kinison. I'm a fat guy. I was married 3 times. I played guitar. Like, I have this fucking anger. Like, so, like, I look at Kinison. I'm like, oh my God, the guy's like a kindred spirit. But, you know, the guy was huge. He was just fucking.
Yeah, yeah.
So Bill became a friend, and he said, you know what, if Sam was alive today, you would be like, you guys would be best friends. He would love you. Kidding.
Yeah.
And he goes, no, I'm not kidding. So I was like, wow. And then he even said to me, I'm going to tell you something we never told anybody all the years we were out doing interviews. You even have something else in common with Sam. We have an older brother that's handicapped. Like, my brother's slow. And he said, so do we.
Wow.
We never told anybody. And I'm telling you on your show, all the stuff we've told on NBC, ABC, I'm telling you on a Mike Boyle show. He goes, that's how much I'm telling you. You even have that in common with Sam. And so Bill Kinison was like, godsend to me. I'm telling you, the guy, he really made a difference in my life because, you know, I had some issues like comics, like hating me and stuff when I got started. And he said, Mike, all the comics when Sam got started hated him too. Don't you understand why? They're jealous because you got on stage, you were funny. I said, oh my God.
Right.
Like, the guy really, really was like a godsend. So anyway, put it this way. So Sam's like a big thing to me. Like, you know what I mean? He's like an idol. And I would love to talk to Carl someday. If you ever talk to him, if he still likes, you know, Bill, if you could tell him that I'm very friendly with Bill, I would love to talk to him sometime. If he thinks
when I go out in January and February and I run into Carl, I'll give him a heads up.
Yeah, man. I would just die to talk to him only because of his experience. Not to put him down as an artist. I'm sure he's a very funny guy. And I would love to
look into
what he does.
He's honest to God. Carl Above is one of the best comedians working today. And, like, each time I've seen him perform, he is fucking – he's just so good. I mean, I know it sounds like almost cliche to just say he's so good, but he is – like, he's just creating shit all the time, especially when he's on stage. You know what I mean? And when I was at the Comedy Store, I can't remember who the hell was on stage at the time, but he invited me in to watch one of the shows or whatever, and him and Alan – I swear, like at the end of this one dude's set, just improvised with him off the spot. I mean, it was an amazing moment because it was almost like you were watching what they used to do back in the day. I love Carl. Carl is like one of my all-time favorite people. He's hilarious.
Well, I have to definitely check him out a lot more than I definitely have to see what he's into because, you know, hearing
his
testimonial like that from a guy like you. So I definitely have to check him out a lot more. John, this has been a lot of fun, dude. And it came up really quick. I didn't really have a lot of time because the last week of my life has been a blur. I just went through like 5 days of no electricity, and I didn't even know if I was going to be able to do the show tonight.
Oh, that's right, man.
So,
how are you holding up with the storm?
Yeah, well, I just got electricity back this morning. And so, you know, I mean, so I'm a little bit flustered and. And it's like, okay, but I want to do the show because, you know, I was committed to having you on. I didn't want to disappoint you, but it turned out to be such a good time having you here. And you're a very, very cool guy. I want you to know that you ever need anything and you ever need to, hey, Mike, throw this on your wall or, you know, because, you know, if you ever need to promote something or whatever, because you're a very cool guy. And I wish you so much luck in your career. And
Thank you so much.
John, you know, I'm so glad things are looking up for you. You got pilots going on, and you got your back and forth to LA and New York, and dude, that's the way to do it. And and so people need to go to johnpoveromo.net, P-O-V-E-R-O-M-O.net. Check your stuff out. Guys, people are calling him genius, and I watch his stuff, and I'm laughing, and you guys are going to laugh and have a good time. And
thank
John,
you so
God
much,
bless
you. You too, dude. Thank you. I really appreciate you having me on. It was always a blast every time I came on with you, and I hope to do it again.
Thanks, John.
No, absolutely. Anytime, John. You need me, anytime, call me. I really do
appreciate
it. All right, brother. Take care of yourself.
Right, take care, guys. You too.
Right, take it easy.
John Pomeroy, everybody. Very nice guy. And girls, check out John. Very good-looking guy. You know what I mean?
He's very handsome. Like I said,
he was stylist. Like Mark, I'm like... I'm looking at him going.
Like, no, the other guy, I hope he's still listening. He's tied with Danny Cohn as having the best hair of comedians. Danny Cohn also has the best hair. He and Danny Cohn are tied, I think. They both have luxuriant, beautiful hair there. And I'm starting to get bald, by the way, in the back. I noticed it in the haircut the last couple of days ago. Looks like I took a yarmulke off too fast and took a patch with it. Or something. I'm getting a little round yarmulke ball spot right where you can see me touching back here. I don't like it. But it's still good up here. So I can like brush it back a little bit. You don't notice. But I'm getting older, man. It's happening, man. Things are happening. You know, the age. Oh, the age. Like Rodney would say. The age, you know. The age is coming in, you know. I'm not like I used to be, you know. And it's true. That's why I don't want to do the fucking old age home. Because I'm going to be sitting next to those guys in a couple of years.
Mike Boyle show. It's not the Mark Health guy. Fucking my balls hurt. My cock hurts. My old man. I'm an old man. It's the Mike. This is about my fucking.
I know, but I'm on. I could get a minute in here once in a while.
Yeah. A minute. I'm going to time it from now on, you motherfucker.
All right.
Hold on. I gotta send John a link to Rotten Apple. Oh, I didn't want it to start playing.
That's the music from Rotten Apple.
Let me see, which one?
And I gotta put this fucking thing together. I hope it's not hard. All you gotta do is put the latch on here for this tripod, right? That's all you gotta do. I got an audition. I got an audition on a phone. Recorded. You don't go to auditions anymore. You fucking audition on a phone now and send them tapes. So you have to get it right, and there's no director to tell you, well, change, go, do it this way, do it that way.
Mark, you're
maybe that would
about
be...
yourself again.
Well, because you're sending me a link, so I'm filling in time.
All right.
When you're done telling them, I mean, what else are I going to talk about? You're sending a link to John Pomeroy. I'm talking about this. Hey, anybody out there show me how to put this thing together, I appreciate it. This thing here. Oh, you can't see it. It's a Joby Grip Tight One GP stand. Or it could be doubled as a sex toy, I believe. But that's what I have here. I think it's easy to do. Mike is now sending. There he goes.
Okay, now, I had no electricity for most of the fucking, I don't even know, it was 3 days, whatever. It all bled together. Whatever it was, I got through it. I just want to say to everybody who lost a lot, and there were people that lost a lot, sorry. You know what I mean? I know me complaining about not having electricity for a couple of days, you know, people were probably like, yeah, fuck you. I understand that. I know that when I was complaining, I knew, well, you know, I'm pretty lucky. I mean, I lived through a hurricane, and the worst thing that happened was, you know, I didn't have electricity. So, you know, it is what it is. But you know what? To me, it was a problem. You know what I mean? So, but I do understand a lot of people were very, very harshly affected. And it's sad. You know what I mean? You're living your life, next thing you know, you're fucked up. You know what I mean? Your shit's fucked up. Your house is fucked up. You know, it's sad. You know what I mean? But there's sad shit all over the place. Sadness can invade your life from any angle on any day. You could be driving home. Somebody could run into your car. You could be fucking walking down the street. All of a sudden, your side hurts. You go to the doctor. Bam, you got cancer. You know, life is fucking... Life is a fucking shit sandwich, you know what I mean? We all got to take a bite, you know, and all you could do in this fucking life is mitigate the shit. That's what this life's all about, and how you get through it, and how you can fucking keep your head above water, and how you can laugh a little bit, and that's what we all try to fucking do. How do you fucking get through it? And there's so much bullshit, and so many people want to fight over nothing. And that's what this shit's all about. You know what I mean? And that's what my cartoon's all about, Mark. And, you know,
correct.
people are asking me all about, like, people say, well, what are you talking about? What's your cartoon about? You're talking about, it's about what the fuck are we fighting about? You know, like, what are we fighting about? We really got to fight over pulling statues down. And we really got to fight in America where you got to fucking, nobody, just, statues don't bother you in America. The fucking statue's not stopping you from getting a fucking job in America. Nobody fucking does nothing with these statues. You know, but it's just like they got to fucking figure out a way to keep everybody pissed off, you know. And people are so fucking stupid that they listen. Yeah, let's get pissed off. Instead of just being fucking happy as much as you can. Because you don't know when your car is going to break and you're going to have to spend money you don't have. You don't know when that fucking illness is going to hit you. You don't know when any of this shit's going to happen. You don't know when the next fucking hurricane's going to happen. You don't know when your kid's going to go out and decide to start smoking drugs. You don't know when nothing's going to happen. So why fight over the fucking bullshit? It's so fucking stupid. You know, you gotta laugh at it. So that's what my cartoon's about. It's about people are fucking stupid. You're fucking stupid. You know what I mean? So
they
I
are.
Got these characters in my cartoon, and there's this Isabel. She's a fucking idiot. She's mad all the time. And Tyrone, he's kind of pissed off about shit, but he's kind of cool because he, you know, he's fucking smokes a lot of weed. But you know, he's, you know, he mellows himself out with the weed. But he's, you know, he wants to be pissed off. He wants to be pissed off all the time because, you know, his
fuck you,
you know,
Mikey. Fuck you.
Yeah, fuck you too. And his group of people are always wanting to be pissed off. So, you know, he wants to be with his group of people. So, you know, he wants to be pissed off at everything too. And Mikey's just like, you know, what the fuck are you pissed off about? And people think like, oh, Mikey loves Trump and Mikey's like, no. Mikey's just like, Mikey's not a sycophant. Mikey's just like, what are you getting so pissed off about? And that's how I am in true life, too. It's like, what are you getting so pissed off about? You're just going to walk down the street fucking hating people for what? What are you doing? Get over
you doing? Stop hating,
self.
For God's sake.
Exactly. Shut the fuck up. You know what I mean? Suck a dick or something. Would you just shut the fuck up? So,
shut up. Just shut up.
You know, I'm just glad that we all got through the hurricane, and I knew we were gonna. I didn't get all nutty. I had people call me up, get out of there, you're gonna die. I'm like, I ain't gonna fucking die. You know, the truth of the matter is that, you know, and thank you, a lot of people did reach out. I have a lot of fans on Facebook, and so a lot of people did reach out, and, you know, how you doing, and it was very nice. And, you know, we all lived through it here, and Floridians are very resilient people. And people are out cutting their lawn again. And I went out to the mall, and people were all out at the mall. The mall was packed, and everything was fucking, everything's getting back to normal already. So very resilient group of people. And I have to take my hat off to them, you know. And, you know, God bless America. And really, everybody, shut the fuck up. I think that's the theme of tonight's show, Mark. Shut the fuck up. You know what I mean? I'd like to rewrite the national anthem. Like, shut the fuck up, you motherfucker. Shut your fucking mouth, you motherfuck. Right? How's that go, Mark? That sound good? They should teach that to all kids. Shut the fuck up. So that's the Mike Boyle Show for tonight. Next week, Mark will not be here. He will be super Jewing.
Shana
Tova. Yes, he will be super Jew, and he will be Jewing it somewhere. Where will you be Jewing, Mark? You'll be.
I'll be at the first. I'm going to the school for the services on Wednesday night and through Thursday, and the services, and then I'm going to the Chabad. We're going to have all kinds of food and eating things, and we're going to stay there all night and pray and eat like pigs. Not pigs.
So,
we'll eat like other animals that are kosher.
So next week is Rosh Hashanah, right?
Correct. It's Rosh Hashanah.
So,
it's the beginning of the Jewish New Year.
So I would like to wish all my Jewish friends Happy New Year. And
V'chena Managa. Shana Tova, you bastards, you.
Yes, and
move your goddamn car, you bastard. Get out of my way. You gotta get to temple, you bastard. Get out of my way.
Would you shut the fuck up, please? And as a result of Mark not being here, because we already had a guest booked for next week, because Mark couldn't tell me earlier that he couldn't be here. So we have Dylan Brody booked as our special guest next week. So I decided that we will have a guest co-host next week. So you guys all know Dwayne Williams from our show. We've had him on as a guest. So Dwayne will be our guest co-host next week. So guest co-host, Mark, Dwayne Williams.
That's right.
Will be.
He's not a Jewish person, so he doesn't have to. Because if a Jewish person would do the show next week, he'll develop on his neck a huge boil that'll be infested and disgusting. If you do anything during the Jewish holidays, if you work for a second, for 2 seconds, you get a boil right here on the neck, and it grows, and then it'll explode. Disgusting. So it's better to not work.
Let me tell you how funny Dwayne is. Dwayne... Dwayne called me up today and asked me about the hurricane. Now, Dwayne is a proud black man, funny comedian, working in New York City.
Plug his show next week.
Yeah, he called me up today. We were talking about the hurricane, and I just pain in the ass, Dwayne. It's like a bunch of black people running through your neighborhood. And he just went, ah! So I thought that was funny. I was like, yeah, dude, it's like a bunch of black people run through your neighborhood all at once. You just got to deal with it, you know? And then you get over it, and you're like, fuck. And so that was funny, and he took it very well. So that made me laugh. So Dwayne is our special guest co-host next week. And Mark will be Jewing, and happy New Year to the Jews. And we will see you next week, everybody. Thank you. Thanks for all the
good night, everybody. Farewell.
Bye-bye.